I will call the Jobs and Labor Finance and Policy Conference Committee to order. We are excited that you're here. We have some exciting things to announce and go through. And so we're going to try to move as appropriate as possible because there's a number of things going on, but we've been in deep dialogue for days. So the idea is for us first to go through the policy, and then after that, we will have high-level fiscal conversations, and then there are a couple other things that we will do, and then hopefully if there are no questions, then we will introduce some other ideas like the federal fund and just to make sure that everyone understands that. So let me just say that a quorum is present, and I'm excited that you all are here. Any openings, comments from you, coaches? All right. So with that being said and kind of giving you a roadmap, we're going to start with the high-level policy provisions, and we're going to start with Carlin Doyle Fontaine, and then they will play volleyball with each other, and we'll just watch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. You should all have the SF 3035DE1 in front of you. It's now 273 pages. I will start going through the labor policy article, which is Article 1. Page 1, we've got the single family home prevailing wage exemption provision. This came from the House. We have Section 2, it's prevailing wage expansion. Both the House and Senate had this as a similar provision. We have pages 2, 4, 7, and 23. Sections 3 to 5, 7 to 9, 13 to 14, and 34. This is within the Department of Labor and Industry. They are separating the division of apprenticeship into two different divisions. And this was the same in both the House and Senate. On page 3, this is section 6. We have compliance order authority for new laws. There are several new laws that are being acted within this bill, and this would list all of those new laws for this compliance order, and this was similar for both the House and Senate. On page 4, we section 10, there are LEAP grant changes that are made as well for the Department of Labor and Industry, and this was the same in both the House and Senate. On page 5, section 11, we have a new provision being brought into the bill. This regards police bargaining units, and it creates new bargaining units for police. On page 6, section 12, this is the Veterans Benefits and Services poster requirements for employers. This came in from the House. On page 8, sections 15 to 20, this is the OSHA penalty conformance. This conforms the penalties to federal law. This was the same for both the House and Senate. Page 9, we've got the section 21 for the Minnesota ergonomics program. This is new, and this was similar in both the House and Senate. On page 14, we have sections 20 and 23. These are construction codes and licensing fee reductions, and this was the same for House and Senate. On pages 16 and 20, and then sections 24 to 27 and 31, electric vehicle charging infrastructure provisions, the same for both House and Senate. Page 16, section 28, we have the assisted living facilities plan review that would now be allowed by the Department of Labor and Industry. This was the same for both the House and Senate. On page 16, section 29, we have the provision that is similar in the House and Senate for model commercial energy code adoption. Then on pages 18 and 23, sections 30 and 33, these are two provisions that they allow for adult-sized changing facilities within the building code, and then also window cleaning standards. And this was similar in both House and Senate. And finally, in the labor article, page 21, section 32, this would add solar installation skills to those that would require licensure as a residential contractor, and this would be for purposes of participating in the Contractor Recovery Fund. And this was the same in both the House and Senate. Then we would go to Article 2, Page 23, Article 2 was similar for both the House and Senate, so I'm just going to kind of just mention what this article is about. It was the contents of the agricultural and food processing workers' safety and labor state standards changes for the Packing House Workers' Bill of Rights, the Migrant Labor Law, and Recruitment and Food Processing Employment Laws. Then Article 3 on page 30, this was also similar, coming from both the House and Senate. This establishes the Nursing Home Workforce Standards Board. Article 4 starting on page 43, this is a number of sections that make some technical changes and other changes to the combative sports licensing. And this was similar in both the House and Senate. Article 5 on page 57, similar in both the House and Senate. This was the bill relating to safe workplaces for meat and poultry workers. Then we have Article 6, which is one provision now. This is on page 65. This was a Senate-only provision, and this would regulate covenants not to compete in employment agreements. Article 7 on page 67, this was also a Senate-only provisions coming into the conference. This modifies laws regarding terms contained within public and private building construction agreements. We have Section 8 beginning on page 69. This came from the House, although the Senate had this bill as well. This is regarding the Public Employment Relations Board data access and classification. We have on page 71, Article 9 from the House is the warehouse worker safety requirements. Then another House only for Section Article 10, page 74, are wage protections for construction workers. And then we have in page 80, Article 11 is a miscellaneous labor article. And this is some of the contents that came from the labor omnibus policy bill that was passed that came into this this particular conference committee. And this was similar in the House and Senate. And this adds additional labor policy sections to this bill or to this conference committee report. Then we have the contents of House File 19. We have sections beginning on page 121, Articles 12 to 14. This is new coming into the conference. It's the contents, as I mentioned, of House File 19, the second unofficial engrossment of the Earned Sick and Safe Time bill, and this creates an earned sick and safe time benefit and provides for enforcement by the Department of Labor and Industry for creation of this new requirement for employers. Then I would move on to Ms. Shalene. She will continue the rest of the walkthrough.
Chair and members, Article 15, beginning on page 137, this is the Employment and Economic Development Division policy language. Section 1 creates the Office of Child Care and Community Partnerships. This is the same in both bills. On page 139, Section 2 creates the Office of New Americans. This is similar language in both bills. Page 142, Section 3 creates the Getting to Work Grant Program. This is similar in both bills. Page 144, Sections 4 and 5. These are the Energy Transition Advisory Committee changes, the same in both bills. Page 145, Sections 6 through 8, the Community Energy Transition Grants changes. These are the same in both bills. Page 146, Section 9, codifies the Small Business Assistance Partnership Program. This is the similar language from both bills. Page 147, Section 10, establishes the Minnesota Expanding Opportunity Fund Program. This is Senate language. Page 149, Sections 11 through 14 are changes to the Job Creation Fund, same in both bills. Page 154 and 180, Sections 15 and 34 codify Launch Minnesota and repeal the old session law version of the program. This is similar in both bills. Page 159, Section 16 creates the Emerging Developer Fund program. Similar concepts were in both bills. Page 163, Section 17 through 20, make changes to the Youth Build Program, similar in both bills. Page 165, Section 21, creates the Targeted Populations Workforce Grants. This was similar in both bills. Page 167, Sections 22 through 23, make changes to the Minnesota Youth Program. These were the same in both bills. Page 168, Section 24, makes a change to the Youth at Work program. It was the same language. Page 168, Sections 25 through 28, make changes to the Destination Medical Center formulas. This is similar language from both bills. Page 172, Section 29, is new language, extending the reporting requirements in the 2021 session law for Northgate Development LLC for an additional year, which accompanies the one-year extension of their appropriation. Page 173, Section 30, modifies the 2021 session law for the forgivable loan program for remote recreational businesses. This is Senate language. Page 174, Section 31, creates the Employer Reasonable Accommodations Grant Program. This was the same in both bills. Page 176, Section 32, establishes the Canadian Border Counties Economic Relief Program. This was same language. Page 178, Section 33, creates the Community Wealth Building Grant Program. This is House language. Turning to page 180, Article 16, this is the Explore Minnesota Tourism Changes. This is Senate language. Article 17 begins on page 186. This is the Capital Area Community Vitality Task Force language from the House bill. On page 188, Article 18, this is the Promise Act, the Grant and Loan Program. And this is Senate language, though it does have similar ideas in the House bill. Starting on page 253, Article 21, skipping over Articles 19 and 20, which are the appropriations articles. So Article 21 is the Minnesota Forward article, and it creates the Minnesota Forward Fund and amends the Minnesota State Competitiveness Fund to facilitate private investments in the state through leveraging federal incentives. It also creates the Minnesota Climate Innovation Finance Authority to fund clean energy and greenhouse gas reduction projects. Also appropriates money to all three. This is similar concepts were in both bills, but this was the final language. And that completes the policy walkthrough of the bill.
Thank you so very much to you all. Any questions on the policy provisions that have been talked about? Seeing none, we will go forward and come back to any adoptions after we go through the fiscal spreadsheet on a high level. And I guess I'm starting with Ms. Nonder.
Mr. Chair, I believe Ms. Roberts is going to go first with the labor.
Oh, Ms. Roberts. Okay. Let's start there.
Mr. Chair, I'm Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Staff, and I'm just going to briefly review the appropriations and revenues for the Earn Sick and Save Time. Again, this was from House File 19. And originally there was a separate target for this bill, but now it has been brought into this spending bill. If you look at the labor spreadsheet on page 3, you'll see that there are two appropriations to the Department of Labor and Industry. Looking at the far right column, Smart Conference Agreement, the first is $3.654 million for the biennium for Earn Sick and Safe Time Enforcement and other duties related to this article. And then there are also $300,000 each year in one-time grants to community organizations for outreach and education. In addition to these appropriations, which are a net of 4.254 in 24-25, there are also some revenue changes. So if you look on the last page of the spreadsheet at the very top, you'll see that there is in 24-25, $311,000 from DLI, from Earn Sick and Safe Time Enforcement, and then there's some additional revenue from the Supreme Court for filing fees. And so the net impact for Earn Sick and Safe Time is $3.87 million in fiscal year 24-25, and then $3.2 million in the tails.
Thank you. Ms. Nona.
Mr. Chair and members, I'll just briefly touch on a few things on the workforce and economic development side of Senate File 3035. There are three spreadsheets provided in your packet. I'll just quickly explain the differences between the three. The first labeled Workforce and Economic Development Finance spreadsheet, that's the detail of the base budget as well as change items. And then the two smaller spreadsheets are breaking up the targets that made up this conference committee. So the first being economic development spreadsheet, which had a $250 million target for economic development and $500 million for federal funds match. And then the other smaller spreadsheet is the workforce development spreadsheet, which entails the $240 million target for workforce development. And both of those smaller spreadsheets are change-onlys. Going back to the details spreadsheet, just quickly, the right-hand columns on the spreadsheet are showing the conference agreement, and the items that were agreed to are detailed. And I won't go into detail on each item, but if members have questions, staff and myself are happy to go into more detail. I think what we'll highlight is the total amount on line two, the general fund impact with all three targets being $990 million in fiscal year 24-25 and $33 million in fiscal year 26-27. And I'll just point out on the very last page of the detail spreadsheet, page 11, a new article was added to the bill, as council indicated, for the Minnesota Forward Fund. And beginning on line 474 of the detail spreadsheet, this is the breakdown of that fund. So of the $500 million in the fiscal year 2024, $400 million is dedicated to the Minnesota Forward Fund. And of that amount, $50 million is for matching funds, $100 million is for bioindustrial manufacturing, and $250 million is for the CHIPS matching dollars. And then on lines 482 and 483, there are some transfers to Minnesota Climate Initiative Authority account of $25 million and for the State Competitiveness Fund account of $75 million. And Mr. Chair, I'll end there, but if members have questions, staff and I can walk through.
Thank you to the both of you. We appreciate the information that you provided. Committee, any questions about the fiscal spreadsheet or the policy spreadsheet? Any questions there? Seeing none, everyone feels okay about the information around the earned safe and sick time? Everyone's good. All right. So, Representative Hassan, do you have any motions?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Our first motion is I move that we adopt the spreadsheets.
All right. So Representative Hassan moves that we adopt the spreadsheets. Any discussion on spreadsheets? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The motion prevails. Do I need to go on both sides of that, or am I okay doing it that way? Okay. Great. I didn't hear any no's anyway, so I think I'm okay.
Unless we ask for a roll call.
Don't do it.
Okay.
All right. And your second motion?
Mr. Chair, my second motion is that I move we adopt the DE1 amendment.
Any questions on the DE1 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The motion prevails. And then there's one last sort of motion instruction.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move that we allow staff to make any technical corrections and give staff instructions to make any necessary change to these documents.
Any questions about those instructions or that motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. The motion prevails. Any last, I think you had a couple people that wanted to say something, or did anyone want to say anything? If not, I can always leave the room, but let me just say. Maybe Representative Young, are you okay? I mean, you good?
Well, I will.
Any closing comments?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank you, Mr. Chair, and Madam Chair Hassan for working on this to make sure that we have a bill that is reflective of the work that we've been working throughout the year. And I also want to really thank our partisan and nonpartisan staff for their hard work. I know that Ms. Lee worked very, very hard the last 72 hours, and same with the Senate staff. And We couldn't have done this without all of your hard work, so from the bottom of my heart, and I'm pretty sure from many of my colleagues here, we really appreciate you, so thank you.
Thank you. Senator Muhammad, she's vice chair. Any closing words or comments?
No, I'm excited that we have a really good bill, and I'm ready to get it done. So thank you.
And then we will go to Representative Nelson on the labor side.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a historic bill for the labor and industry to be passed. Many items in here that we've been working for a long time. It will increase worker safety throughout the state. And with the ergonomics program, especially it will help people to prevent them from getting injured in the first place, which is probably the most important thing.
So thank you so much, Representative. And Senator McEwen, representing our Labor Committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I am so proud of the work that we've done in both the House and the Senate together. It's been such a pleasure to work with all of you and all of the advocates as well. As Representative Nelson said, a lot of these pieces that are in this labor omnibus bill have been worked on for years. So it's really satisfying to have had such a great team to see this through. So much work by all of our staff, partisan and nonpartisan, and I'm so thankful for each and every one of you and really glad for the bill that we have. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think it would be appropriate for Representative Olson to say something, because I know that you have worked really hard on the earned sick and safe time. So I think it would be important for you to say something or for us to recognize that work.
Well, thank you, Senator Champion. That's incredibly gracious of you to give space for that. And I know this is a long time coming, well before my time, that advocates have worked on this and stories have been told. And this is a game changer for Minnesotans. And so I think to carry this in this bill and for you to recognize this moment as significant, and Chair Hassan and Chair Zhang and Chair Nelson and Chair McEwen to shepherd this along. This is a long time coming and will improve the lives of so many people in our state. So thank you so much for carrying this in this omnibus bill.
And we, of course, got to go to the Queen herself, which is Representative Hassan. And any, you know, comments or words that you want to give?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I first want to thank our staff. We would not have accomplished anything if it wasn't for you. And I know that the last 72 hours or the last 24 hours, we threw some curveballs at you and put you through a lot. I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for all the work that you have done. This is your work. We are the ones that have to, like, present it to our constituencies and to the state of Minnesota, but it's really your work and all the work that you have done. I want to really give a shout out to our reviser staff, all of them, especially Cherie Spear, who worked really, really hard in the last 24 hours. I want to thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. President, for spearheading this work with me. We, you know, had tough conversations sometimes, but just like siblings, you know, you fight and then you make up, and then. But I really admire your dedication and commitment to serve your community. And to recognize the historical disinvestment of the African American community in the state of Minnesota, the Black community, the BIPOC community, low-income communities, and communities that don't normally have a seat at the table. That's something that is admirable. So thank you for doing that work. I want to thank all the country for your work, and especially for just texting you last minute and saying, hey, we got to close this bill now. Come back. Thank you. Thank you, Joe Shang. You know, you and I put the one gavel, split between two, but had to work really hard to put it together. Thank you, Travis, for putting up with me. It's not easy to put up with me, at least that much I know. But I also want to thank Minnesotans who came to us, testified, you know, showcased their communities to us and said, hey, this is our community needs. I will say, I know I'm not the first one to say, this is, you know, our community's work. They are the ones that told us the need, and we acted upon their need. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, let me say, first of all, thank you to everyone, and thank you to Representative Hassan, who is just a wonderful, thoughtful, considerate, and tenacious one. And I sincerely appreciate all of those attributes, and I want you to know I really do. I also want to thank everyone around the table, you know, conferees, partisan and nonpartisan staff. I will say thank you to Danny Gillis, as well as my good friend right here, Tom Melton, who I know I was driving crazy because I get up every morning at 3:30 and he then gets texts from me. And so that happens all the time, right? And so I also want to thank, you know, Carlin and Ms. Noner and just everyone for just, you know, being so thoughtful. I also want to thank, like, Shamika Bogan, who's not here, but I'm sure she's online because she's been texting me right now, just saying I'm watching or I'm doing something in order to make sure that everything works. And I also want to thank the department, both labor as well as deed, everyone. And I call the interim commissioner the TC, right? And so they've been just thoughtful along with Dario. If we had questions I know that there are times that we had them over in the Senate and they were running over to the House and they were just running between the both of us. And I just want to know how much we appreciate you. So I hope I didn't forget anyone. Chair Jung, thank you for just being thoughtful as well and being so willing to work with me. And so I appreciate that. And I hope I did not forget anyone, because if I forget anyone.
You have to know that you're also hard to work with. Just know that.
I am hard to work with. She's right about that, right? But you know what? I love that our hearts are always in the right place, because I know that no matter what we were saying, that was coming from the correct well. And so thank you to Senator McEwen as well, because on the labor side, she would come to me and talk to me about all these things she wanted to put in, and I had to be the one to be like, really? Really? And to trust her that she was going to do what is necessary in order for us to get 34 votes, because we have to get 34 votes on our side of the aisle. So thank you so very much. And with that, thank you to, lastly, Minnesotans, because you're absolutely right. All the various groups that came in and put up with us just to testify and to put themselves in front of, I like to say, you know, or recognize it as sometimes the firing squad, because we are asking them questions and we're asking them to come into this place and just be the incredible individuals they are. So thank you, Travis, as well. I appreciate you. So with that, if there's nothing else, we are adjourned.